Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whenever you are. Hi, this is Pastor Wayne Anthony Lewis from the Word Incorporated Church in Toronto, where eyes are forever open and hearts are forever changed. Thank you for joining me today here on Selah. I was thinking back to my childhood in elementary school. I went to a Catholic elementary school in Toronto called St. Andrews. Have some really great memories, and I'm still friends with many people that I went to school with back then. And thank you, Facebook, because the truth of the matter, without Facebook, I probably wouldn't be in touch with many of them. But I remember reciting scriptures, specifically John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm not quite sure what triggered this nostalgic memory of grade threes and grade fours reciting John 3:16. But it's so profound that God so loved the world, that God loves us. He loves us exclusively. You see, the thing about God's love that I have grown to understand is that nothing changes the love of God for his children. His love, which is defined as agape, it means that it's all-consuming. It's nothing we can do to deserve it, to earn it. You know, God can't love us any more. He loves us to the maximum. Now, as a father, I look at my children. I've been blessed to be married 16 years, going on 17 now, by the time you're listening to this message. And we have 8 children. And I love each one of our children exclusively. Like, I don't have a favorite. They're all different. I have a unique relationship with my children, and I love them. But what stuns me is to know that the love that God has for my children pales when I compare it to my love. And I love my children, there's no question. And I wonder if you know that God loves you. The Bible says that love is patient and it's kind. It's never jealous, not envious, it's not boastful, it's not proud. It's not haughty, it's not selfish, it's not rude. Love does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It's not touchy. It does not hold grudges. This kind of love that the Bible speaks about is the kind of love that God has for us and is manifested in our lives. God loves us. The first thing you need to understand about God's love is that it's unconditional. I don't want to say this again. It's unconditional. It means that there's nothing you could do to increase it or to earn it. He loves you exclusively. God loves you. Take that in. As a little boy, I would think about, the Bible says that God loves the world so much that he did something. He gave his son. He gave Jesus as a sacrifice to pay for my sins, for your sins, for all of our sins. It's powerful. God's love for us is so unconditional and it's undeserved that he loves us in spite of our disobedience, in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sins, in spite of our selfishness and our pride, and in spite of all of those things that we do, he loves us. His love provides a way for us to receive abundance. But most importantly, God's love provides a way for us to receive eternal life, everlasting life. We learned this throughout many parts of the Bible, many accounts, many stories, but perhaps the one that I love to speak about is the story of the prodigal son that's found in Luke chapter 15. Here you had a young man who had a brother and a father, and he said to the father one day, "I want you to give me my inheritance." In other words, he said to his father, "I wish you were dead, because when you die, I get your wealth, your riches. But I can't wait for you to die. I want it now because I got places to go, things to see." And the father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible said that this young man went out and he squandered it. He wasted it in prodigal living. He opened up a club. He did shots from the bar. He traveled. He did everything. He had friends. He had money. He was popular. And then it ran out. When he ran out, he was forced to work. But the economy tanked. So he was first forced to work in the lowest of the lowest jobs. And as a Jewish boy, the worst thing you could do is to do anything involved with swines, because, you know, pork and pigs would make you ceremonially unclean. The Jews were not allowed to eat, not allowed to touch, not allowed to associate. But he was so on his face that he went and he was working, feeding them. His job was to feed them the slop. And as he was feeding them, the Bible says he came to his senses and he says, "Listen, I'm begging for food, and I would love to eat even what these pigs eat, because no one gives me anything. It would be better for me to go back home. My father's servants live better. I'm not worthy to be your son. But I'm going to go back, and I'm going to ask him, would you at least take me back to be a servant? I'm on my face." And then he goes, as he heads back home, the Bible paints a picture that is so amazing, that the father was sitting, looking in the direction, looking in the yonder, looking beyond the horizon, wondering, waiting for his son to come back. That's love. The father wasn't upset. So how did my son, he disrespected me, he disrespected the family. I'm looking at his Facebook posts and I'm seeing he's partying. Look, he's not going to school. He's a loser. Many of us would just say, forget it. That's your choice. You snooze, you lose. Move on. I got to take care of myself. I got to take care of what the little that I have remaining. But no, not this father in this parable, and not our heavenly father. I want you to know that God loves you. God loves you exclusively. It's so important to know that. And I believe that even in these last days, in these dark times, we have to know that God loves us. I need to know that God loves me, despite the worst of me, despite the things that I do that I'm ashamed of, that I pray that no one ever finds out, no one ever will know, that God loves me. Why is that important? I want you to listen. As soon as this father saw his son, the Bible says he ran to him, embraced him, command that shoes would be put on him, robe would be put on him, restored him back to his right position. That's God's love. That's how powerful God's love is. It's unconditional. Notice the father didn't give an inventory of his hurt and how you embarrassed the family. He saw him, didn't even give him a chance to speak. The son was ready to, "Father, I prepared a speech. Please listen to me." He said, "Enough. Please come back. You're here." That account goes on to say that the father said that, "Listen, your son, your brother was dead. My son was dead. He was lost, and now he's found." You see, God wants us to come to him. And you that are listening to me, God wants you to come to him. He wants you to stop it. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to trust him because he loves you. He's not going to list all the things you've done wrong. You know it. He knows it. Yeah, there are consequences. Yeah, there are things that we have to deal with. But God, oh, he deals with us in threes. Remember this. If you're going to hear anything that I'm going to say today, remember this, that Jesus loves you. That's one. And two, that God deals with us and all of humanity in threes. He deals with us through justice, through mercy, and through grace. Justice is when we get what we deserve. The law, we broke it. The penalties on the books, the judge gives us what the law says we are supposed to receive. That's justice. Mercy is when we do not receive what we deserve. And God always deals with us in mercy. He says, I know you broke the law. I know what the law says I'm supposed to give to you, but I'm not going to give you the 5 years, the 5 months. I'm not going to allow you to suffer the full way. I'm going to show you mercy. He also deals with us with grace. Oh, and I love grace. And grace is when we receive something we don't deserve. But despite the fact that we are wicked and evil and we sin, that God in his love and because of his love for us, he gives us a blessing. He gives us something that we can't look at and say, well, God, well, thank you for giving it to me because, you know, I'm a great student. I'm a great husband. I'm a great father. I'm a great daughter. I'm a great person. No, God, he gave you this thing because of his love. And oh, how I love grace. I thank God for mercy. And I thank God for grace. God, understand that God's love is unconditional. Understand that God's love is absolutely unconditional. I think the last thing that I want to speak about the love of God is this. That God's love reaches beyond our circumstances. You see, the earlier Christians endured persecutions and hardships and unbelievable suffering because of their faith in God. And even today, and I'm speaking for those of you who are listening to me in North America, we have it good. We got our Starbucks, and we got our hospitals, and we got our multi-million dollar universities, and we have pretty much the best of everything. Technology is phenomenal. We have it good. We don't suffer from the fear of going to church. Regardless of your denomination, to be honest with you, regardless of your faith, some go to churches, some go to mosques, some goes to temples, synagogues. And there's no real fear that, yeah, maybe someone may speak that they don't like you, but you're not afraid that someone's going to blow it up or someone's going to come in and shoot it up. But in the early church, there was that living fear that you went to church and you were not guaranteed to come home safe. In other parts of the world, they live like that. People are murdered because of their faith in Jesus. Because of their love for God, their life is in danger. But isn't that amazing? The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. And when you love God, and it is my prayer that I would love God and that you would love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we would understand that the love of God reaches beyond our circumstances. That God will always keep us. He will always be with us. He will comfort us. He will bring healing. He will bring strength. The very thing that we need from God, God will provide it. And he provides it through the arms of love. I'm not much of a singer, but there's a song that brings me comfort that I'm going to share with you, that I'm going to conclude. And notice that I said that I'm not a singer, because I'm not. But it goes like this. I sing a simple song of love to my Savior, to my Jesus. I'm grateful for the things you've done, my loving Savior, my precious Jesus. My heart is glad that you called me your own. There's no place I'd rather be than in your arms of love, than in your arms of love, holding me still, holding me near, holding me still, holding me near, in your arms of love. God bless you. Bye for now.